We are bringing together imperfect people in pursuit of a whole life. Welcome to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. This week, Pastor Doug shares his message from the Stronger Than Oak series, I Am Looking Out For You.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a bodyguard? Someone who is strong and capable and whose job is to protect you from harm. Some of you may have heard of Lionel Messi. He's Argentinian soccer player, probably the most famous and popular soccer player in the world. But what some of you, more of you might not know about is that Lionel Messi actually has a bodyguard who's pretty good at his job. So if you wouldn't mind, check out this highlight reel, not of Messi doing amazing soccer plays, but of Messi's bodyguard doing some pretty interesting bodyguard things. Check this out. That's impressive. And I love the range of things. It's everything from the subtle, when someone's just putting a hand on Messi and he's like, nope, no hands. All the way to the full out sprinting in the middle of a soccer game to protect Messi from harm. I love, you might not notice, but there was another player standing next to Messi who I don't think realized that there was a fan streaking onto the field. And for a second, I think that player thought that the bodyguard was coming for him. I didn't foul him, I promise. But man, wouldn't that be amazing to have just 250 pounds of pure muscle just watching over you, and no matter where you were in life, walking a line, playing, doing your job, was just there. And the moment they saw any threat, they're charging in to make sure that that threat gets nowhere near you. I think that would be pretty great. And interestingly, that's actually one of the promises of Jesus. As we look in this series at eight promises Jesus makes to his followers, this is one of them. So let me show you the text, and then let's talk about what that means for us, how it plays out in our life. This is from the Gospel of John. This is right before Jesus is about to be crucified, and he's giving this very long speech to his followers. He says, hey, this is what's going to happen, and I've pulled together three different sections of the speech to just show you this promise that Jesus makes. So Jesus says, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. You know, the disciples, they're confused. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. So Jesus is promising that he's going to send this advocate after he goes away. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Elsewhere he says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He says that word again, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. So no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And then later on yet, he says, and if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, and so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. And since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you, Jesus says. But when they persecute you, I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So three times in this speech, three different sections, Jesus promises to send to his followers, and that includes me and you, an advocate that's gonna protect us from persecution, an advocate that's gonna guide us in the truth, an advocate that's going to be with us always. So this is a really important word, this promise that Jesus is saying. What exactly, specifically, is he saying here? And so when you look at this word, this is a really powerful word and a good word for you to know if you want to be someone who embraces Jesus' promises, if you want to read the Bible well. The word is parakletos, which in English they'll sometimes translate paraclete. But what it literally means is someone who is called alongside you, someone who's called to your aid. And we've really struggled to find an English word that fully summarizes the complete meaning, the sentiment of that word that Jesus says. So as you just saw in the text we read, most English translations will translate this word parakletos as advocate, but that's not necessarily a word that we necessarily use in all the same ways today. That feels like kind of a weak word. And some people some translations will call it a comforter, someone who comes alongside you and puts their arm around you and comforts you when hard things are going on. Some translations will put it counselor, and they don't mean like mental health counselor, they mean like a legal counselor, someone who would actually come into court and advocate for you against the judge. Like that's the sense of counselor. Other translations will call it a helper, some will even put it as friend. And none of these are wrong, but all of them are getting at just one facet of this word. That this word is all of these things. It's saying that this advocate that Jesus is sending, it's not just a legal advocate or someone who's going to comfort you or someone's going to help you. It's this full range of representation, full range of protection and defense that Jesus is promising. And one of my friends, Denise, was sharing in our study last week, and she shared a word I'd never heard before, champion. And this is my new favorite word. None of the English translations will put champion in this, wherever this word shows up. This is what the word I'm going to fill in with my head from now on. Anytime I read advocate or comforter or counselor, in its place I'm going to put champion. Because I think that's the truest, best sense I've yet heard for what Jesus means when he says he's going to send us a parakletos, an advocate, a counselor, a divine champion. And think of what that means. When you talk about a champion, that's like Middle Ages, the knight that's going to ride to your defense, that's going to protect your honor, that person that's going to fight for you and make sure that harm doesn't get anywhere near you. Kind of like a bodyguard. So this is a pretty amazing promise that Jesus is making. He's saying that you and I, every one of us, now have access to a divine champion. And one that's even better than Messi's bodyguard, because Messi's bodyguard has to have days off and he isn't allowed on the team bus. This is the divine champion that's going to be with us all the time, everywhere we go. And no matter what happens in our life, we will never be apart from this divine champion fighting for us and protecting us. What an amazing promise for Jesus to make. Which is why I think it's a really hard one for me, because when I look around my life, I don't feel like I see evidence of a divine champion that often. Certainly not one who's with me all the time. In fact, if I compare it to Messi's bodyguard, who is prowling the sidelines of every soccer game he's in, and the moment anyone even gets near Messi, he's charging into the fray, I don't feel like I have anything like that. Where's this divine champion that Jesus promise? I think a lot of us, if we're honest, wrestle with that same thing. Where is this champion when bad things happen in our lives? Where is this divine champion when I lost my job? Where was that divine champion when my spouse left me? Where was that divine champion when I got so sick that it just completely derailed my life? Jesus makes such a big promise here. And yet there are so many moments in my life, and I'm sure yours, where it would have been really nice to have a divine champion show up, and yet he didn't. As one of my favorite songs puts it, that we all go through life and have these moments where I've been lonely, I've been cheated, I've been misunderstood, or I've been washed up, I've been put down, I've been told I'm no good. Where was the divine champion when all these things were going on in my life? And I'd actually like you to take a moment and just wrestle with that question for yourself, because here's the thing I'm sure of. I'm sure that there have been moments in your life that didn't go great. Moments where it would have been really awesome to have a paraclete show up, to have a divine champion swoop in and rescue you or protect you from harm, and yet he didn't. So here's what I invite you to do along with me today is why don't you just take a few moments and just think back on what was a time, or even more than one time, where it would have been really nice for God's champion to rescue you, but he didn't. So take a moment, think about that. So I don't know about you, but I can think of many, many moments where loves were lost, or opportunities were squandered, or injuries derailed my plans for my life. I'll share one with you. Some of you might know, I flunked out of college the first time I went, and that's a moment where it would have been really great for God to have maybe shown up and rescued me from that. And, you know, knocked on my door and been like, hey, get back to studying. You know, stop with the staying up late. You know, for God to have intervened would have been really, really, really great. But he didn't. And I don't know what moment or moments you all would have thought of. There's a few hundred of us here. That means that there's probably a few hundred entirely different scenarios, experiences, moments where it would have been really great to have had a champion show up in your life, and yet he didn't. And while I don't know what your moments were, and I don't even know the range of the different things that you would have thought up compared to me, here's one thing I actually do really believe. I believe that there is one common element to anything that you went through, to everything I went through, and if we all got together in a circle and just shared these moments with each other, I think we would discover that there is a common theme that unites all of these experiences. And that's what I'd like to share with you. It's a little hard to explain, so instead I'm going to show it to you using a movie clip, because I think this movie really captures this truth that you and I need to wrestle with if we're going to understand and embrace this promise of Jesus Christ. The movie is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which is one of my favorite movies, even though it is actually not that great of a Robin Hood movie, mostly because Kevin Costner didn't even try to pretend he had an English accent. If you watch this one, just know it's like watching it if Robin Hood had been born and raised in Iowa, which is weird. But it has this kind of relationship in it that's unique to the Robin Hood movies that I just really, really love. See, early on, Robin Hood saves the life of Azim, played by Morgan Freeman. And in return, Azim has sworn a sacred vow that he will accompany Robin everywhere he goes and look for an opportunity to save Robin's life, so that he can equal the odds, return the favor, even his karma, whatever it is, which basically means, in effect, Robin Hood has a bodyguard. He has this amazing Moorish warrior that's on his side, that's accompanying him everywhere he goes, who's promised to stay with him and protect and save his life whenever necessary. And so, in this scene, Robin is confronted with six unscrupulous soldiers that are doing something unjust to a young boy. And Robin, knowing that he's got a Saracen warrior at his side, picks a fight with the soldiers. And then this is how it goes down.
Might I have the pleasure of your name before I have you run through?
Robin of Locksley.
Well, well. Locksley. Welcome home.
Kill him!
Come on, swords! Come on, hurry up!
He's on!
Take it!
Ah! Azim! It's time to redeem that vow!
Ah! Unleash the hounds!
Get off your knees!
Now, sir, if you'd be so kind as to give me your name before I run you through.
Guyve Gisborne, the sheriff's cousin. That little was poaching deer.
Poaching? Is it not a greater crime to starve a family?
Go on, Loxley. Go on.
I've seen enough blood spilt to last two lifetimes. Now get off my land. And tell Nottingham what happens to your scum when they pick on small children. You. You traveled 10,000 miles to save my life and leave me to be butchered?
I fulfill my vows when I choose.
Which does not include prayer times or meal times or any time I'm outnumbered 6-1.
You whine like a mule. You are still alive.
I just relate to this so well, that this idea that he thinks he's got this support, this backup, and it doesn't show, and he's rightly upset. And this scene has two great lines in it. The second great line is, I fulfill my vows when I choose. I love that. I want to start saying that to people, especially my wife, I think more often. But the best line, the greatest line from this scene is that closing line, you whine like a mule, you are still alive. It's a funny line regardless, it's also profound, even biblical wisdom. That he's not just making an excuse for his inaction, Azim is telling something really important, really powerful to Robin Hood, and something really important and powerful for us, and this is a consistent biblical truth. To prove it, let me show you the equivalent version of this. This is from 2 Corinthians 4. Paul writes to the believers who themselves are going through hard times, persecutions, struggles, feeling outnumbered, 6-1. And he wrote to Christ's followers, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Yes, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, sure, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. In short, we're still alive. And so this is the common theme of all of those moments that we reflected on earlier, that however difficult it was, however hard it was, whatever painful results have happened because of that perceived lack of rescue, you're still standing. And so am I. We're here. We got through it. Now, maybe we didn't get through it the way we wanted to. Maybe things didn't go the way we would have hoped or our best case scenario. But what Paul is writing is what we saw play out in that movie clip is that we're not dead. And yes, he would have wanted Azim to intervene and to fight with him. But in that moment, it turns out he didn't actually need Azim. He had it. He was able to engage with all those people all by himself. And so in the same way, what God is asking for you and me to recognize and to have some discernment is, we made it through even without whatever form of rescue we would have wished for or prayed for or hoped for a best case scenario. You see, the promise of this divine champion is not actually that he will spare us from everything bad that could ever happen to us. It's that no matter how hard-pressed we are, we won't be crushed. And no matter how difficult or persecutions might feel, we're not alone. We've never been abandoned. He's been with us through it. And that no matter how much it feels like we get struck down, we're not destroyed. We're able to get back up and try again. And so this is how we see the evidence of Christ's truth in his promise, that the fact that you're here and I'm here and we're together worshiping God in this place today is the proof that his promise has been fulfilled, that divine champion has been advocating for us behind the scenes, inside our hearts, whether we always recognized it or not. We made it through to today. Now, there's an obvious rebuttal to this. So you can look around and say, well, maybe I'm here. But there are other people that didn't make it through. There are people where circumstances were bigger than them. And where was God then? Why didn't he show up to protect them? And that's why Paul continues on with this promise, because this isn't just actually a promise for this life. This is a promise for eternity. Look what he says. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, all the hard things that Jesus suffered, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And Paul's reminding us that no matter how hard it is, even if we were struck down and perished, all that means is we get to receive the eternal life that's waiting for each and every one of us who trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That our divine champion is so powerful, he can conquer even death itself. And that the resurrection of Jesus means that even were we to die in this life, all it means is we get sooner access to the treasures and to the life of eternity that God has waiting for each and every one of us. But in the meantime, we might be struck down. We are not destroyed. We might be persecuted, but we are not crushed. In the meantime, we're making it through this life in a way that shows that there's a Holy Spirit advocating for us behind the scenes. And this truth, this powerful promise of Jesus, this does one thing for us. It doesn't do what we maybe wish it would do. It doesn't mean that we have a 250-pound, muscle-bound bodyguard that's going to keep the bad things from happening. The bad things are still going to happen, but what it does is something really important, and this is a line I skipped when I read through 2 Corinthians 4 the first time, so let's go back to it. It says that sometimes we will be perplexed, meaning we're wondering why God's allowing this to happen. We're wondering why we're in this circumstance, why he hasn't rescued us the way we would have liked him to. We might be perplexed, but we don't ever have to be in despair. Because if he can conquer death, then whatever you and I are going through in our lives, whatever we've gone through historically in our lives, we don't have to lose hope. Because he's stronger than whatever it is. And so it's okay, it's fair. We're gonna be perplexed, we're gonna be confused, we're gonna maybe be on our knees praying and saying, God, I don't understand why you're not rescuing me from this. I sure wish you would be doing it differently, but we never have to despair because we're not abandoned. And a God who can conquer death can conquer anything we're facing here and now in this life. And so this is the truth of Jesus' promise. It's not that all of these awful things won't happen. It's that there's going to be a change in us in the midst of these awful things happening. I alluded to a song earlier. This is a song that's gotten me through some of the lowest points in my life, because this song, I think, conveys some of the most powerful biblical truths I've ever heard. And I read it a little bit earlier, but I want you to just listen to it now and listen and just remember some of those darkest places in your life and hear and be reminded about what this song is saying about those of us who have a divine champion, those of us who have an advocate in our life, even in the midst of our struggles. Listen to this song.
Standing cold and scared on top of Blue Hill. There came one moment when I lost my will. I prayed for mercy, please, Lord, take me away. Yeah. Give me sunshine where I only see gray. Oh, yeah. My past had a hold on me, it can't be denied. And the changes didn't come easily. I've been lonely, I've been cheated, I've been misunderstood. I've been washed up, I've been put down, and told I'm no good. But with you I belong, could you help me be strong? There's a change in my life since you came along.
There's a change in my life I love this song because it doesn't say those things stopped happening to me. It just says, since you came along, there's a change in my life. And now with you, I belong. And so I can overcome all of these things. This is the promise of our advocate. This is what the divine champion does differently for us. And I want to just call your attention back to John 14. Because he says, this advocate, he will never leave you. This is the picture that we're not alone, we're not abandoned, but we are changed. And the change is this, that he's actually inside us, which brings me to my final point. And the thing that I think maybe will help make the rest of this promise crystallize for us. You see, the difference between our divine champion and Messi's bodyguard is that Messi's bodyguard is external. He's his own entity. You can see when he goes charging onto the field and does something to protect Messi. But our divine champion is not external. He's not outside of us. He's actually in us. He dwells in our hearts forever, which makes it much more difficult for us to discern when we got through a moment based on our own strength or through the strength of that divine champion inside us, equipping us, encouraging us, helping us take heart. And how many of the things that we've gotten through, we didn't have the eyes to see or the discernment to recognize that we only got through it because there was a Holy Spirit advocating for us from the inside, giving us what we needed, whether it was strength or energy or wisdom, to navigate that really hard and difficult thing. The closest thing I can think to compare it to is this. A few years ago, I was diagnosed in my 40s with ADHD. Which is weird to me because that's the thing that, you know, you diagnose kids that are struggling in school, but suddenly I'm getting this diagnosis and my counselor recommended medication and so I started taking medication, and here was what was crazy was it was an instant difference. But it wasn't a miraculous difference. I didn't feel like a different person or a new man. I felt like the same old me. The difference was there were all these things in my life that had been really, really hard for me to do. And yet literally the day I started taking medication, all those things that had been hard became really easy, shockingly easy. It was still me doing them. It was still me having to face all these difficult things in life. It wasn't like God swooped in or the medication swooped in and did the things for me. I was still doing them, but I was doing them with a strength and an ease that I'd never had before. So it wasn't a miraculous intervention, but it was a significant one. And in this case, I was able to have a before and after. I was able to compare and contrast and remember the difference between what it was like trying to do something in my own strength and what it was like trying to do something with the help of a medication. And yet that's the closest thing I can think of for what this advocate looks like. What Jesus meant when he said that we would have a divine champion inside us, with us forever. It's not that he would do things for us or that he would spare us from anything. It's just that those things we have to face actually become easier. And the things that might have crushed us won't crush us because there's a Holy Spirit in our heart helping us take another step, put one foot in front of the other. And I think there are a lot of real world equivalencies to that. For some of you, it might be coffee. For others, it might be medication. For others, it might be running or just whatever that thing is. But I think that's the picture. Is not some sort of clouds parting, miraculous angel with a sword showing up and smiting all of our problems, but this much more intimate, this personal Holy Spirit advocate, a divine champion, making sure that we don't have to go through life on our own strength. And the evidence, the proof of it is in the pudding, that you're still standing. You're still putting one foot in front of the other. And all of the hardest things you've had to face haven't kept you from this moment in your life, and it will not keep you from all of the promises and the reward that God has promised to each and every one of us who put our trust in his name. And that's something we can take to the bank. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. Thank you that you have made these promises and just shown us through your word how we can rely on them. I thank you that even though every one of us here has been through hard times, things that could have wiped us out, things that could have ruined our life forever, it hasn't. Lord, I pray that you would help us now to look back on our past with discernment. Help us to have eyes to see that we didn't get through those moments alone, but that you were there in it with us every step of the way. and that your advocate, your divine champion, was in our hearts, giving us everything we needed to survive, to make it through, to take yet another step in these beautiful but messy lives that you've called us to lead. So Lord God, I pray that you would help us to continue to recognize and lean on this advocate. Help us to use your strength. Help us to trust in your promise that you will never abandon us as orphans, but that you are advocating for us behind the scenes every moment, every day of our lives. We pray this in the holy and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Pathfinder Church Message Podcast. If you'd like to hear more messages like this, hit the subscribe button. You can also find more resources at our website, pathfinderstl.org.